Welcome to the New Beginnings Community Church Podcast. Here at NBCC, we welcome the imperfect, flawed, and broken, as much as the healing and thriving, because we are all God's children. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everybody. You guys ready to overcome stress today?
Yes.
Okay, how many stressed out already? I'm just joking. Today we're on a third part of our series, God Stress. If it's your first time with us, say, hey, thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Del Campo. I'm the senior pastor here. Thanks to those of you who are watching from home. But today I want to take it. Has the series helped you at all? Just to just always curious. Yes or no? Yeah? Okay. Is your stress levels reduced a bit, or did I just increase stress in your life? You know, because I tend to do that in people's lives. But 2 weeks ago we talked on how Jesus, he said, look at the birds, where it says, you know, truth affects emotions if you believe it. We're going to key on that a little bit today. And then last week we looked at good decision-making leads to less stress in life. Any amens on that one? Looked at Rehoboam. And then today we're going to look at what I believe matters. And let me tell you something that happened to me when I was 18 years old. And this was like 1998 or something like that. It was just a while back. No, don't do the math. I'm not that young, okay? So I'm 18 years old, and I'm right out of high school, and I'm going to Chaffey College. There was no 15 freeway at the time, so you're driving down. And it was one morning, I'm driving to school, and it was really foggy. And it was so foggy that you couldn't see 30 feet in front of you. And so I'm going slow, and it's just foggy. And then cars start shooting by me. And I'm thinking, what's up with that? And more cars, and I'm thinking, you know, they're not being very careful here. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to hurt somebody else. And it kept on going, and I thought, what's going on here? And then about 10 minutes go by of cars passing me, and I have this stroke of genius in my life. And I decide, you know, I'm going to rub the inside of my windshield. And so I rubbed the inside of my windshield, and guess what? The fog wasn't on the outside. The fog was on the inside. You know, I felt so ridiculous at that moment because my defroster wasn't working because, you know, I'm 18, my car, nothing, everything doesn't work on my car, so, you know. But there was fog on the inside, so it really slowed me down and gave me a false perception of life around me. Have you ever thought about this? That stress and anxiety and worry is like fog on the inside? That it really affects the way you view life? Your perspective on things, it fogs up what is true, and it makes us believe sometimes lies in our life. Well, today I want to try another step in clearing up the inside fog. I have a curious question as we're talking on God Stress. I have curious questions all the time, but I'm just curious. It's church, let's be honest. Those of you at home, be honest, because we can see you, okay? We have a reverse system here. How many of you, when something goes wrong in your life in a certain area, you bleed that into your whole life? Where it's all wrong. Raise your hand. I want to know, man. Something goes wrong, and now it's all wrong. Everything wrong. If they're not raising their hand next to you and you know that about them, raise your hand right now. I want to know. Raise your hand up. Okay. Okay, so we need a big, small group after service to deal with that one right there. Yeah, and what's going on there is... what we've learned incorrectly in life, or we've never learned to compartmentalize stuff. And I try to tell people, look at it this way. If one thing goes wrong in your life, think of it like a car. The headliner's still good. Seats aren't ripped. Transmission's working. Engine's working fine. Wheels look really good. Tires look good. You know, so take the one thing in that car that you think is bad, put it in the glove compartment, close the glove compartment, and keep it in its little area. Any amens? And then focus on all the rest of the car that's working good and see if that helps you at all. So you've got to learn to compartmentalize things. Otherwise, you will tend to bleed the problem in life into all of life, and you'll have so much fog on the inside. It will hurt your forward progress in life. Does that help anybody here right now? Any amens on that right there? Okay, good. I can leave now and go have lunch. I'm good. No, I'm just joking. So today, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about what I believe matters, and it does. I'm going to use the template of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I thought this really fits with this topic today, what I believe matters. I'm going to teach you something that I taught to the men's breakfast, but I gave them like 2 minutes of it. Today, I'm going to expand it out. I learned this about 4 or 5 years ago. I wish I'd learned it, you know, like 35 years ago. But 4 or 5 years ago, from the foremost teacher, scholar in the world on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His name is Gary Habermas. And when he was saying it, man, I couldn't write this down fast enough. God, I go, this is so true. And so I wrote it down. It falls into ABC. I'm going to give you the ABC. Don't fill it in yet. I know you want to, but it's activating belief. C stands for consequence. Activating A, B for belief, C for consequence. Those are going to be your 3 points. Now, if you really want to overcome stress, and if you want to corral in worry, then you're going to follow this simple principle. But it's not just a one-time shot. You've got to do this for the rest of your life. Otherwise, you're never going to make progress or build the strong foundation that you need. So when life does go sideways, it doesn't get all foggy on the inside and blur your perspective on life. So if you would turn with me to Mark chapter 15, I hope you start bringing your Bible, because without your Bible, you will never build the strong foundation in your life, the belief system that eliminates the fog on the inside. Any amens on that? So Mark 15, we're going to look at a segment of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 25 through 34. I'll do a little bit of commentary, and it says this. It was the third hour when they crucified him. That's 9 o'clock in the morning for them. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." So above Jesus, there is an inscription, and it says, "The King of the Jews." Pilate put it there, he had it put there, and that's interesting. Because one of the questions that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus during the trial early that morning was, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And, you know, Jesus doesn't really respond to too much. And so Pontius Pilate now puts the answer to his own question on top, above Jesus. He says, "The King of the Jews." So Pilate answers his own question. Verse 27, they crucified 2 robbers with Jesus, with him, one on his right and one on his left. And I find that fascinating, because didn't Jesus always walk around with bad people while he walked around? He was always accused of that. And now even while he's dying, he's crucified next to a couple of bad people. So he's always hanging out with the people that most people don't want to hang out with. Verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That was written 700 years earlier, the prophecy of the 330 or so prophecies of Jesus that came to pass. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, now stop." That's a lie, because Jesus never said that. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it." They're saying, "You said you're going to destroy the temple on the mount, the big temple that they had, and rebuild it." Never said. He said this temple, meaning his own body. He was predicting his own death and that he would resurrect. So they're not interpreting him correctly. Guys, let me tell you something. Please watch out for the bloggers out there who think they know something. Please stay away from that. Please stay away from the obscure teacher out there that says they know this. Please don't do that, because they're going to take you down wrong roads. Any amens on that one? Be careful of stuff like that, because our day and age, social media, they can feed you so many lies and false interpretations. Be careful with it. Verse 30, save yourself. Here's what they're yelling at him. Save yourself and come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself." Stop. If he saves himself and comes off the cross, can he save others? No. So he cannot come down off the cross. Because if he comes down off the cross, he cannot save you and you and you or me. or any of us, because he's come to die on the cross for us. He's come to be the substitute for our sins and our punishment. He can't come down off the cross. And if they say, come down off the cross to prove it. Prove who you are. And he's like, well, this is the proof that I am who I am. But they don't get it. Verse 32, let this Christ, they continue mocking, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe. They would not believe, trust me. They would not believe. Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. So he's in physical pain and he's being abused verbally. Can you imagine when some of these people face Jesus on the day of judgment? Oh man, if they don't repent. When the sixth hour came, sixth hour is noon. So that's when the sun is at its brightest basically for us. Darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness from noon to three, reminiscent of the 10 plagues in Egypt when darkness fell over Egypt for 3 days. But if you remember the story, the narrative, that where the Israel Jews lived in Goshen, in that area in Egypt, light hit that area, but Egypt, the area right there where Pharaoh and everybody went, darkness fell upon for 3 days. It's reminiscent of that. And then verse 34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here we go, guys, taking notes. Here we go. Number one, your notes. The A stands for activating events. We're talking about stress, worry, anxiety in life. How do we deal with this stuff? Now, verse 34 again. Put it up on the screen. I want you all to read it with me even. Well, here it is. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Okay, you got it. Down pat now. Good, good. 1, 2, 3. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? You guys did so good on that. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. All right, now, and what it means is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want you to think about this. This is the activating event that can fog up our lives on the inside. We all have activating events that cause stress, anxiety, and worry, and fear, etc., etc. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Don't we do that? Life goes sideways. God, where are you? God, I've been serving you for 10 years in church at that New Beginnings place. And where are you right now when I need you? God, what's going on with my family? All of a sudden this has gone, hey, God, my health, what's going on, God? Don't we all do that? My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want you to think. Think of what's happened all the way to the moment. Now, Jesus is on the cross. The night before, he is arrested. He's taken. He's put on trial with the religious leaders. The charge is blasphemy. Now, they convict him of that. But they can't kill him because capital punishment has been taken away from him 30 years earlier. There's a great, great truth behind that, but I don't have time. So they bring the Pontius Pilate after all these phony baloney trials that were illegal. I've never heard of that before. But anyway, they bring him to Pontius Pilate and they change the charge. Now it's insurrection against Rome. The reason why they change is because Pontius Pilate could care less about religious blasphemy. Now they got to make it look like Jesus is leading an insurrection against Rome, which is a lie. Jesus didn't go after Rome, he went after the temple. Any amens on that? He didn't do that, but they have to say that. And Pilate, he finally says, there's no fault in this guy. He's done nothing wrong, but the mob. Oh, the mob. Oh, yeah, go with the mob. But the mob, they're pushing and pushing, and Pilate is on shaky ground, and he condemns Jesus to die. Guys, falsely arrested. They take him. They spit on Jesus. Can you imagine? He's God. They punch him and punch him and punch him. They throw this material over his head, he can't see, and they go, prophesy, son of man, who hit you? And then they punch him. You know what's amazing about that? They go, prophesy, who's the one that hit you? You can't see this. When Jesus had just prophesied that Peter would deny him, and while they're punching him, his prophecy of Peter's denial is happening right outside in the courtyard. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And then they take him and they hook him up to the scourging post naked. And they bring that whip back and forth. And I told you about the scorpion whip last week. Anybody remember that? And they're whipping him and they're whipping him. And all up and down until finally he's bleeding so bad, going in shock. His back is opened up, skin hanging like ribbons. You can see his internal organs. Then they throw that 110-pound piece of wood over his shoulder, the patibulum. And he carries it about 600 yards up to Golgotha to be crucified. And there they nail him. And for 6 hours, he's up and down because crucifixion is asphyxiation. He's trying to go up. He's trying to breathe and exhale and breathe and exhale. That's what he's got to do because he's suffocating up there. He can't breathe. And he's weak. He has had no food. He has had nothing. Guys, do you think he's having a bad day? Do you think life has gone sideways? Do you think he's in suffering or torment? Anybody? This is bad, guys. This is really bad. Does life go wrong for you and I? Do bad things happen to good people? Absolutely. And you know, we can... That person tells you, I don't love you anymore. Some of you know what that feels like. The spouse tells you, I don't love you anymore. I met somebody else. You're a real good athlete. You blow out your knee, you'll never be the same. You can't get a scholarship. They tell you, you have cancer. Your kid comes home from college and they say, I don't believe in God anymore. My professor at school told me there's no God. And life hits and hits. Those are activating events. And they create fog on the inside of our life. Do they not? These are things that happen to us with suffering now and anxiety, and all the stress and anxiety comes into play. Now, I got to balance all of this. I got to make a statement now for the sake of somebody watching or somebody, just so you know what I'm not saying. Watch what Peter says. This is a balance statement. Peter writes this, one of the 12, he says, for what credit is there if when you sin, notice sin, and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. Stop right there. I don't need the rest of it. What's he saying? Have you ever met somebody that they sin, they make dumb, stupid decisions, continue sinning, and they go, I'm being persecuted for this. Anybody ever seen that before? They're not being persecuted. Just making bad decisions. You're just choosing to sin. And then you're blaming somebody else. He says, when you sin and you suffer for it, don't try to act righteous. Instead, start living righteous. So when things go wrong, then God will favor you. Do the opposite of that one. Don't act that way. Now, back to the issue right here. Okay, here. You guys want to know one of my problems? Anybody want to know my problems? I bet you do, huh? Okay, I'm a movie guy. Three of them today. I'm sorry, I had to. You ever seen the movie The Money Pit? Raise your hand. Tom Hanks, 80s. Raise it up. Okay. Besides me, does that movie drive anyone crazy besides me? Doesn't it? How many of you like me? I'm watching. I'm going to date myself. 80s with Olivia at the drive-in. Then she tries to snuggle up. Come on, babe, please. I'm trying to watch the movie here. You know, she says stuff like, but you're so handsome. And I'm just... And so the money pit, Tom Hanks, they buy this house and everything is wrong with it, is it not? It's bleeding them for money all over the place. And I remember everything kept going wrong. And finally I turned to Olivia. Here's one of my problems. I said, if something doesn't go right soon, I can't take this anymore. Because I have this, I'm a controller. Any controllers in the room? Raise the hand next to you of that person, okay? They're trying to be under control right now. Shut up, okay? Okay, so when things keep going wrong, it's like, oh, God, I can't take it anymore. Ever see The Game? Michael Douglas, who has seen The Game? Raise your hand, I want to know. Everything goes wrong in that movie. I can't take it anymore. And so I am a person who's ripe, because, you know, I'm a controller, for these acting, I can get foggy on the inside, man. because my emotions will take over my life. How many of you, when things go sideways in your life, your emotions start getting the best of you? Yeah. How many know that's dangerous? That's not the way you want to be led with any emotions at all. Now, activating events. This is what creates the potential fog on the inside where I just can't see clearly. Everything's bad. I'm going to open the glove compartment and bleed it over the whole car of my life. You follow me so far? You follow me so far? Okay, good. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. The B, belief. B stands for beliefs. Now, belief is important because belief can bring relief or grief. Say that with me. Here we go. Belief can bring relief or grief. Say it all together. Go. Belief can... Oh, you fell out right there. Can bring relief or grief. Here we go. Belief can bring relief or... It depends on what your belief system is. Now, side note. When I say believe, don't think anybody in the room think I'm saying, oh, you just got to believe. No. As a Christian, you better understand and start to understand and know that your belief system is not based on a lack of evidence. Your belief system is based on evidence that Jesus Christ is the God-man, that he did walk the earth, that he was crucified, and that he did, eyewitnesses saw this man, he came back from the dead. It's based on evidence, friends. No matter what anybody tells you, it's based on evidence. Now, with that said, let me say this. Luke 23:46. Now he's on the cross. Remember, what did he say before? What did he? My God, why? It's like, where are you, God? Here we go. It's foggy on the inside. We know what that feels like. Now watch now. Belief kicks in. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, say it, Father, into your hands I come in my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, you find he moves from my God, why have you forsaken me to Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Is that a shift? Yes or no? Yes. Is that a belief shift? Yes it is. Now, he's not going to stay with the fog on the inside. He's shifting now, and now he's going back to what he believes. Father, you're with me. I trust you through this whole thing. You ever do that when you're in stressful situations? You ever do that when life is filled with pressure? I believe you, God. I believe what it says, no matter what's going on, no matter how sideways my life is, no matter how much worry, stress, and anxiety, fear is trying to get a hold of me, I believe you. Amen? Amen. Now, think about this. There's two thieves on the cross next to him. There's more, but there's two. One thief on the cross, he's just mocking Jesus. He looks at Jesus angry because he's up there crucified. He goes, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. He's mad. He's just a mess emotionally. There's the other thief on the cross. He turns, he looks at the other thief and he's like, really? That's basically what he meant. Really? He goes, we're guilty of our crimes. But this man, Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. And he's yelling at this other guy. And he looked at Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus in the middle says, today you will be with me in... Whoa. The mocking thief, he's in the activating event, is he not? This is bad, right? And he does not go with belief. He goes straight to C, stop, don't go to C. He goes straight to consequence. This is bad, this is awful. And his emotions are getting the best of him. Are they not? Do they not? But the other guy, he doesn't jump to C, he jumps to B. Jesus, I believe in you. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Which of the two thieves do you think was comforted? The pain's not gone physically, but which of the two? The one who believes. The one who puts his faith in Jesus. The one who trusts this word of God right here. See, you can have good or bad belief. Good belief, trust the word of God. Bad belief, go with your emotions. It's your choice. One day Jesus, he's telling that magnificent, beautiful illustration. He says, look, build your house. There's two guys in the story. The guy digs deep and he hits the rock, the bedrock of the earth, and he builds his house upon the solid, immovable rock. He said, and then when the wind and the waves and the storm come, and they will come, right? It comes and it hits that house, and the house is not torn down. It's not movable because it's built on the rock. It's like this. He says, but there's another guy. He just builds on the dirt. He doesn't dig deep. Puts his house there. And the wind and the waves come. The storm hits and blows that house over. What's the difference? What's the difference? One builds on the solid foundation. Why do I harp on you? Read the Bible, study the Bible. Beliefs matter, do they not? This is the rock. Talks about Jesus. But if we build on sand and dirt, that's just emotion. That's I feel and I think, which is the whole culture out there. We're all going to hit tough times, guys. Good things happen to bad things happen to good people. And so I remember this. Anybody ever seen Iron Will, the movie Iron Will? Go home and watch it, okay? It's a 90s movie. It's so good. It's about this 17-year-old young man, and the family is going to lose the farm in Canada. And it's based on a true story. And he goes into the dog sled competition. It's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles over days and days and days. And he goes there to save the family. And before he leaves, one of the ranch hands tells him this. He goes, Will, when you face your greatest fear, let the Creator guide you. I remember the first time I go, whoa. What a great truth. And guys, when life is upside down, when life goes sideways, when things go wrong, and fear hits us, and anxiety and all the rest, let the Creator guide you. Let the Creator guide you. And this is how He guides you. And this is your foundation. And this is what you, this is your belief system. Listen, you can go with self-talk, Satan talk, or Savior talk. It's your choice. Right? Self-talk, Satan talk, Savior talk. I go with Savior talk. It may not change my circumstance, but it leaves me strong foundation while I'm going through it. Anybody? Anybody amen on that one? Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 3. Now watch this. Go to Proverbs 3. Now watch this. It's on the screen, but I'm going to turn to it in my Bible because I just really like these set of verses, and maybe you might want to jot these down for later to remember them and read them before you go to bed for some of you. Watch this. My son, let them, say them, not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely. How many want to walk secure? No matter what. And your foot will not stumble. How many want to walk like, yeah? When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Anyone want that? Because some of us go to sleep and two, three nights, we can't even sleep because we're so filled with anxiety. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Anyone want that one? Yes, great. Do not be afraid of sudden fear. When things out of the blue hit, and they hit, you'll not be afraid. Anyone want that? Nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. When people try to do things to us, we will not be afraid. Anyone want that? For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Amen. But did you catch the beginning? In verse 21, he says, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. You want good sleep? You want not be afraid when things hit? Stuff. You want to walk secure? You want to be confident? All that? He says, then let them not vanish. What's them? You have to back up. In your Bibles, it's understanding, it's wisdom, and it's knowledge in God's Word. Let them not vanish from you. Let these be the concrete, the rock foundation of your life. Because then when life hits you, you're not going to be shaken. You will be secure and you will be confident. Anyone want that? Because you're not leaning on your emotions, you're leaning on what God says. Your belief system is intact. Now, let's move on. And now we come to the third point. Now, the C, it stands for consequences. Back to the thief on the cross. Now watch this. Luke 23, 41 through 43, and it says this. Here's the good thief, the one who's repenting. And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. He's confessing. I'm up here because I've sinned. I'm not blaming somebody else. Boy, I wish people could learn that one. But this man has done nothing wrong. Can you back up to verse 41? Something popped in my head. Is it okay if I say that? You want me to back up? Okay, good. He says, we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. He's taking responsibility. I remember I was about 26, 27, 20, and I went for a teeth cleaning. And the hygienist, and she's telling me, oh, you have this, this, and this. And I go, mind your own business. No, I didn't say that. And I said, I probably don't do it right. And I'm not kidding, guys. She goes, oh, you admitted it? Oh my gosh. And it was like whoever, her boyfriend or husband, never admits anything. And she was just like, I was like, lady, calm down, okay? You're cleaning my teeth. But she was like, oh my gosh, there's a human, a male that admitted that he could be wrong here. That's a free one, let's move on, okay? Some of you ladies come and give me $20 later on that one, okay? And then watch what he's, and he was saying, this is what he's saying, this is the good thief, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's faith. He's putting faith in Jesus. He's jumping in 2 feet first. I believe in you. Come on, you can help me. And he said, Jesus says to him, well, truly, I say to you today, not tomorrow, not next year, but today, you shall be with me in paradise. That's like consequence in our future, right? That's like good consequence. Any amens? That's like put belief in there, and then now there's good consequence, even though right now we're still suffering, but I believe in you, and so I got a good consequence coming. That's called hope, is it not? Hold the thought. Now, remember, activating event, the cross. He's crucified, right? Belief. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now I'm going to stay with my belief system even though I'm being crucified. And then finally says, today, consequence, you'll be with me in paradise. That's hope. Don't you want hope in the midst of suffering and stress and panic? Don't you want that? Yes. That's what belief gives you. And Romans 5 says hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. Now, here we go. How many have seen the Shawshank Redemption? I've seen it about 30 times. I love that movie. For those of you who don't know it, I gave you 30 years to see it. And I'm going to ruin it for you. Andy Dufresne, he is falsely accused and convicted of murdering his wife. He didn't do it. They throw him in prison in Shawshank. In there he meets a group of guys, becomes friends. One is Red. Andy Dufresne is played by Tim Robbins. Red is Morgan Freeman. And there's a point in the movie, as they've been friends now for years and years and years, where Andy's talking about hope in this miserable situation that they're in. And Red gets upset. And he says, hope is a dangerous thing in here. Why is that? Because they're lifers. Why would you have any hope in here? But Andy's going to keep hope. Because Andy's unique. He's just different. And then one day it happens where they think Andy's going to commit suicide because something goes wrong. And Andy has been suffering in there. I mean, he's been, I won't even tell you, but it's bad for him in that prison. And he's innocent. He never committed the crime. And they think Andy's going to commit suicide. His friends are nervous. They're scared for him. And Andy's sitting down there, him and Red are talking, and he says to Red, he goes, I didn't murder my wife. and I've served enough time. He goes, if I ever got out of here, I know where I'd go. And then he says the word, I'd go to this place in Mexico on the beach, say what the nail. And he makes sure he tells him that. And then he tells Red, Red, if you ever get out of here, there's a place. Do you know where Buxton is? He goes, yeah, I know. Well, there's an oak tree there. There's a fence. And under that oak tree, there's a bunch of rocks. And under the rocks, you'll find an obsidian rock. That rock has no business being with those rocks. It doesn't fit. Under that rock, I put something there. I want you to have it if you ever get out. And they think Andy's going to kill himself. And that night, they go to their cells, and they're scared. Red is scared. He doesn't want his friend to kill himself. The next morning, the siren goes off when they come to Andy's cell, and Red thinks that Andy has killed himself. But what you finally find out is that for the last 20 years, Andy has been tunneling out of his cell. And he escapes. He gets to the sewer line of the prison. He breaks it open, and he crawls 500 feet or some, 2,100 feet through sewage, and he's throwing up as he goes to get out of that place. And he gets out. And, you know, the whole prison's in an uproar. He's gone. And then time goes by, and then Red comes up for parole. And this time they let him out. And so Red, he goes down, he gets out, and he goes to the place in Buxton, to the oak tree, and he finds the rock. Underneath there's a tin. And he opens it up and is like, there's a letter from Andy. And you hear Andy's voice. He says, Red, if you're reading this letter, it means you've gotten out and you've come this far. And maybe you'd like to go a little farther. I could use a good hand with my fishing business. And this and that, he goes, you remember the town I told you? And Red says, say what the nail. He goes, I hope this letter finds you well. And there's cash in there. And now Red, who's been in prison for like forever, is as giddy as a little guy. And he buys the ticket to go, and he gets on the bus. He says, no one will be looking for an old criminal like me. Because Andy had sent him a postcard in prison when Andy got out, and it didn't sign it Andy, or it just showed Fort Hancock, Texas. And Red, that's where Andy crossed to go to Mexico to say what the nail. So he buys a ticket, Fort Hancock, please, and he's going there because he's going to go. While Red is on the bus going to meet Andy down in Say What the Name of Mexico, Red is talking, and it's, you hear him in his mind, but he's talking, and he says this. I hope to find my friend well. I hope the Pacific is as blue as it's been in my dreams. And the last line of the movie, I hope. And then it shows Red meeting up with Andy on the coast of Sihuatanejo, and he's working on a little boat for a fishing business. I hope. The man who lost hope in prison was given hope. Now, the next time you watch a movie, I'm going to change your perspective now. Because this is the way I watch movies. I watch it through the Bible eyes. They steal script from the Bible all the time. Andy's the Jesus Christ character. He committed no crime, and he's thrown in prison. He's convicted. In there, he is thoroughly abused, like Jesus was. But while he's in there, he gives hope to all these people. And he escapes, which is a picture of the resurrection. And in his escape, his resurrection to new life, Red tags onto that, and he follows Andy unto a new life in his own life. I think that's just a magnificent picture. And it's because of hope. See, when we're all fogged up on the inside with stress, anxiety, we lose hope, don't we? Okay, let's go back to Jesus on the cross now. While Jesus is up there for 6 hours in agony, he says things like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's not what people in pain do. They blame everybody else. While he's up there, he says to John, John, behold your woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Basically, John, take care of my mom. And by the way, you Bible, serious Bible students, why wouldn't he say that to James, his half-brother, to take care of mom? Because James wasn't a believer yet, not until he sees the resurrected his brother. Then James could take care of the mom. So right now, Jesus is going, John, take care of my mom, even though she's not your mom. He's not thinking about himself. And then into thy hands I commit thy spirit, my spirit. It is finished, tetelestai, it is accomplished. I have finished the course. And he dies. While all this is happening, there's a rough, tough, gruff centurion soldier who's commander over 100 soldiers. He's watching all morning, 6 hours of this guy. And all of a sudden he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. A Roman centurion, he has seen 100 crucifixions. He's numb to crucifixion. What happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He has never, ever, 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 in all the crucifixions that he's watched, ever seen anyone handle pain and suffering like Jesus did. He never saw that. And it so impacted him that he came to the realization, this is truly the Son of God. This is the Messiah. Is it possible? Is it possible? Maybe, just maybe, just maybe, just maybe, that when you and I go through suffering and pain and hurt in our lives, the way we handle it based on belief that we're built on the rock, that we have peace, and we can even have joy, even though our circumstances haven't, is it possible that your coworkers are watching? That your friends are watching? Your unsafe family's watching? And they're like that centurion going, how in the world are you doing this? Because I would fall apart. And then that opens the door. Say, let me tell you how I'm doing it. Because I'm not doing it. It's Jesus Christ. He's the foundation of my life. It's what I believe. And therefore, I'm not going to go with my emotions. And what you're watching right now is a person surrendered to Jesus Christ. And it opens the door for you to share your faith. Look, I know the stats. Most of us in this room haven't shared our faith ever one-on-one. That's a stat. Some of us haven't shared our faith one-on-one in years and years and years. But what if God could use suffering and pain in our lives? And the way we handle ourselves and the joy we have and the hope that we have in the midst of it, somebody's going to go, I'd be falling apart. Why aren't you falling apart? Well, let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. And you tell them why. And now it's opened the door for you and I to share our faith and possibly to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it all be worth it? Didn't Jesus say, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world lost his soul? Isn't every person valuable? They're more valuable than our suffering and our pain. What if God could use it that way? Because you chose to believe and trust God, because your mind is transformed by the word of God, because you've been in this book and you're on the rock, man. Hasn't changed your circumstance, but you're on the rock. And you stay strong through the middle of anything. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we all go through stuff. And so we need to set ourselves on the rock. We need to study this Bible, read this Bible, be devoted to the truths of your word, and wash our minds clean and transform them like your word says. So when life goes sideways, we're not sideways. When life is turned upside down, we're not. When people are falling apart, we're on the rock. Thank you, Lord. Now today, as you are here in this room, maybe you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you've never surrendered and said, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never acknowledged that He is God in the flesh. That He came to earth and visited His creation and went to a cross and took our place on that cross for our sins. And then He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. Maybe you've never acknowledged these things. And now it's time to. And now it's time to surrender to Jesus, to give him your life, so he can put your life on the rock, so you can know that when you die, you go to heaven. You go to be with Jesus, that you don't face judgment for sin. And friends, every one of us in this room has committed these 30,000 sins. And just one of those sins will send us to hell. Just one. And you cannot erase one sin by good deeds. It doesn't work that way. It took the sacrifice of the God-man, Jesus, to erase sin through his blood. But you have to surrender your life to him, and you have to put your faith in him. Paul in the New Testament says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. You got to make a decision for him. We say, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, not making a decision is a decision. That's a denial of him. So those of you who have never put your faith in Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to do that. To have your sins forgiven. To make Jesus your God. And maybe you backslid, you walked away, and you know what that term means. You've heard it before probably. It's time to come back and surrender for the rest of your life. Just surrender it, man. Say, Jesus, here it is, man. Here's my life. You take it. You guide me through your word. I'm ready to follow. That's today's your day too. So, with that said, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus and you'd like to, or you backslid, you want to rededicate your life, I want you to do something right now as a sign between you, me, and God. I want you to open up your eyes if you want to do this and look up at me. I'm going to look back at you in a second. When our eyes meet, you can close them. Christians, pray. Do it now. Now, I'm going to say a prayer. And those who looked up at me, you're going to repeat it out loud with me. And everyone's going to say it with you in this room. Christians, you re-say it with them. But remember, you must confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's death and resurrection. There's the whole gospel. Jesus is deity. He's God. Jesus came and he died on the cross, buried, and then he rose from the dead. You got to believe that. So here we go. Everyone repeat this out loud. Those of you who looked up at me, you say it and you put belief in your heart that Jesus is the only God, that he died for you on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for taking my place on the cross, for being my substitute for my sin. Thank you for shedding blood, your blood, to forgive me. Forgive me of all my sins. And I know I'm forgiven. Thank you. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. Take over. Holy Spirit, come in me. And I will follow you and your word for the rest of my life. Now let me pray for all of you who looked up at me. Listen close. I pray for you, friend. You can't just walk out of here and act like nothing happened, because God saw it all, heard it all. You're in a relationship with Jesus Christ now if you truly believed. And relationships must be cultivated. And God looks forward to meeting with you. You got to get yourself in a church that teaches the Bible. You need to get yourself a Bible you can understand and start reading about the Savior you just chose to believe in. Stay in the New Testament for a couple years only so you learn about him. Jump into different things in the church. If you're from out of town, find a church from out of town. Get there. Understand that you're going to make mistakes. Ask him to forgive you. Get up and keep going. That's what the blood of Jesus is there for. Lord, I thank you for everybody looked up, and I thank you, Jesus, for your word. It's so powerful. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Thank you for that, Lord. And so, God, we're grateful that all of heaven rejoices over people who repent and come to you. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Stand up with me, everybody. Now, really quick, and I ask you not to move around, just a few things. If you said that prayer, I would invite you to come and just get prayed for a minute by the people left. If you don't have a Bible also and you said the prayer, they'll give you a free Bible out there too. They'll show you where to start in the New Testament and just go from there. So repeat after me, everybody. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, good. Lord, keep me outward focused.
Lord, keep me outward focused.
Why is that important? Because how many people get so stuck on the inside, huh? They're always thinking about themselves. It's always about themselves. And fill me with your spirit. Why is that important? Because I need the power of the Spirit of God in my life to be a witness for God out there, don't I?
Yes.
Give me the boldness.
Give me the boldness.
And don't I need boldness?
Yes.
You know when the apostles got in trouble in the book of Acts after witnessing and sharing faith, they got in trouble. You know what they prayed for after that? Boldness. Wait a minute. Boldness got you in trouble in the first place. They prayed for more boldness. To share the gospel with others. Because others need the gospel. Open up opportunities. Pray that daily. Just say, Lord, give me an opportunity today to share my faith and watch what God does. To minister outside the church. Because that's some of the greatest ministry, is it not?
Yes.
Because I see what I'm looking for. If you go to Home Depot, man, and you're looking for a certain item, that's what you're going to look for, right? You're going to see that, right? But if you look outside, you're looking for somebody to share with, minister to, whatever. If you're looking for that, that's what you're going to see. Any amens?
Amen.
That's what you see looking for. And make me into a generous person like you. If you want to be a happier person, joyful, be generous. You want to be unhappy? Be greedy. Just be greedy. But if you want to be joyful, be a generous person and help other people. Hey, God bless you. We'll see you next time. As we can, Tuesday night Bible study, we continue. I'll be back on the saddle. See you here Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
If you need prayer or dedicated your life to Christ, please reach out to us on our social media. On Facebook and Instagram at NBCC Norco, or email us at hello@nbcc.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe to this podcast.